There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello!
Hello.
Old Bean.
Old Bean.
Does anybody call in anybody else Old Bean?
Not me, no.
No, I think it's fallen out of favour. I think it probably is still going. Do you want to tell me? Do you want me to tell you who I think is probably still saying it?
Go on.
A certain type of, I want to say, privately educated, but mm-hmm. I could be wrong about that, mm-hmm. but mildly posh boy.
Yeah.
Who is now an adult in his 20s, 30s, 40s, whatever, and then goes drinking with his friends, and they ironically say, "Hello, old bean," to each other.
I know how they stand as well. They stand with like their arms folded behind their back.
Yes, yes, like Prince Philip.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, this is exactly it. Good, I'm glad we've worked our way through that. Mm-hmm. Do you want to hear something bad that happened to me?
Oh, I don't know. How bad is it?
It's excruciating. It's
brilliant. Yeah, go.
So you know I had that urinary tract infection.
Oh, yeah, I do, yeah.
And I just want you to know that is all fine now.
Good.
But the doctors wanted to do a follow-up. The GP wanted to do a follow-up appointment. Mm. And they wanted to do it over the phone.
Okay.
So I said, it was all online. Mm. I'm interacting with the computer, which by and large is my favourite way to interact. I was offered an appointment on Friday, just gone, mm-hmm. between 8:30 in the morning and 2 in the afternoon.
Okay.
Quite the window.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I had a meeting that morning. I thought, but what if the doctor calls when I'm having the meeting?
Yeah, yeah.
Fortunately, it was with somebody I have a good, like a long history with. And I said to them, look, here's the situation. Mm. The doctor might call. Am I all right to pop out for 10 minutes? They said, sure. So with a spring in my step, I left home 9 o'clock in the morning to get to a 10 o'clock meeting. 9:20, I'm on a very crowded bus.
Oh, no.
And the phone rings.
You didn't think that through about being on the bus?
I know I didn't. What? I just thought, what are the chances?
Oh.
I'm only going to be on the bus for about 20 minutes.
In that huge window.
Yeah. It'd just be terrible luck if the doctor called at that point.
No.
And then, of course, he did. And it was busy bus. Every seat was taken. I was on the top deck. I was sitting next to a young woman.
Oh, no.
But I really didn't want to have to like get off a bus and then get back on one.
No.
So I thought I can do this.
Mm. You can keep your answers neutral. Usually.
Exactly.
Usually.
Exactly.
Right, go on.
And do you know what?
Yeah.
I largely managed to.
Oh, brilliant. Okay, good.
I answered a lot of questions about my urinary tract.
Yeah.
And about my just general urination habits.
Yeah.
Without any, I don't think anybody would really have known. Mm. What I was saying.
Okay.
So at one point I might have been saying like, yeah, I mean, it can take a while to get started, but
fine.
You know, that's just something that happens, isn't it, with the passing of time.
You'd be talking about the car.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, anything,
exactly.
Really.
Exactly. So I'm feeling quite pleased with myself for my ability to self-censor and have a 10-minute conversation about my urethra and that general area without anybody really suspecting a thing.
Mm.
The doctor then asks me about sexual function He says, have you noticed?
What?
He says, have you noticed any discomfort? And here's the thing. I did have an answer that I needed to give.
Right.
A quite specific answer.
Oh.
And I thought, come on, you've got this. You've been talking about your bladder, your urination. You've been going here for nearly 10 minutes. You can do this. And what I managed was, you ready for the phrase?
Oh, okay.
I have experienced some discomfort at the significant moment.
Oh, man. That is beautiful. You should be a politician or something. That's beautiful.
The doctor said, I'm sorry, the significant moment.
No, how dare... They knew you were on the bus. They knew.
And then went, oh, can I just explain? I'm just on the bus at the moment.
Right, can you work... I worked out what you meant. Yeah, why couldn't they?
So then I...
the significant moment.
So then because I'd said... I'm on the bus at the moment.
Yeah.
I just think that that moment it became apparent to everybody that I was talking in some kind of coded language.
Everyone's trying to work it out now. Yeah. It probably was quite easy.
Yeah, so I got off the bus at the next stop. But you know, if it had played out like a sitcom, an old fella, as I was getting off, would have said, I experienced some discomfort at the significant moment too, mate. But unfortunately, that didn't happen.
That's great.
So that was the terrible thing that happened to me. I was going to say, oh, did you see that Peter Higgs has died?
I did see that. Yeah.
Of Higgs boson fame. So what's happened to boson? Is boson still around?
Must be. We'd know otherwise, wouldn't we?
You'd have thought,
are you checking?
I am, because he probably died in like 2016 or something.
Oh, that'd be embarrassing. A bit like fools.
Let's have a look. Higgs boson. Also known as the Higgs... Oh, okay. I think I've just realised something.
Yeah.
There is no boson.
There's no boson?
No, it's not like Hall and Oates.
Oh.
I think...
How weird.
I think Higgs discovered the boson.
That would make sense.
I think a boson is a thing.
That would make some sense. Okay.
Which is why it's also known as the Higgs particle, because Higgs, when he's telling people about his boson... People think, oh, never mind Higgs, I want to meet boson. He's like, there is no boson.
He's a solo artist.
I'm a solo artist. Yeah. People think I'm part of a double act. Mm. It's very infuriating. Mm. There is no boson. There's no Higgs now either.
Oh, well, this is a terrible, this is an even worse day than it was before.
Do you remember? I feel like it was some point, I mean, we've worked together for a long time, haven't we? A long time. Mm. In that Large Hadron Collider.
Yeah, yeah.
That they discovered it. So I still think of them, they, Higgs and boson, working late into the night. But it was, I would have guessed 10, 12 years ago, something like that.
I remember it,
They discovered it. And it was such a big deal at the time that in CERN, under that mountain, with that Large Hadron Collider, you know, they've never been able to do this with a small or a medium-sized Hadron Collider, but they got a large one.
It's so exciting.
And they discovered, old Higgsy discovered this particle, and it felt like this real significant moment in human scientific history.
Yeah, that's what it's billed as. And?
What's happened?
Nothing's changed.
No. Like, in some ways, it's more rubbish now than it was in 2013.
Maybe that's because of this boson stuff.
Oh, you think?
Yeah. Maybe it's ruined things.
I feel bad for saying it's... I just caught myself doing a thing that everybody above a certain age does.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, it's just better 10 years ago. It probably wasn't.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. I'm sure it wasn't.
Some things were. Yeah. Some things weren't.
And we can't blame Higgs, especially not today.
Well, we could. No.
Apologies to any family listening.
Yes, sorry. R.I.P.
Yeah.
And I really hope that the obituaries and the subsequent coverage of Mr. Higgs's passing really gets people to understand that there is no Mr. Boson.
They didn't do a great job 10 years ago, did they, if we're still thinking it now? So, yeah, now would be the time to point it out to us more clearly.
R.I.P. old Higgsy. Yeah. Sorry for blaming you for everything that's gone wrong. Maybe everything that's gone right. Some things have got better, haven't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Like 5G.
Right.
Now, I know a lot, there was some stuff around 5G and strange conspiracy theorists and vaccines and those people. But I'm not one of those people. I just like it when my phone's on 5G. I get very frustrated when it's on 4G.
I mean, guess what? My phone can't go into 5G. Or maybe I've never been in a 5G area.
Do you still get that letter E?
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah.
Really?
What about that? What was that one where it was TGME? Or so? What was those four letters?
Oh, I can't remember. But you don't see that anymore. And do you know why? Higgs particle.
Yes. Yes. It's much better now.
Exactly.
Thanks, Higgs.
Right, how's correspondence looking? Do you need to berate the Drifters or are you happy enough?
Oh, I'm never happy. Never happy.
Oh, no, but I mean specifically
oh,
about...
Right. I think we're at a stage where it could do better. Mm-hmm. I'm going to grade you C+.
People have been too busy enjoying the Easter holidays.
Yeah, no,
we're coming spring out. Break!
Yeah, we're starting to come out of it now-ish, and I think it's time that you got to your computer and sent in some stuff for me.
Okay.
And then we'll see what I'll grade you next week. But I'm saying C+ this week, so you can do a bit better. Thank you very much. First one's from Lizzie. Listening to last week's pod and the brief chat about your preference between summertime and meantime, I remembered a Drifter by proxy moment that I heard of some months ago. The scene features an inexperienced news anchor on South African TV. Often these funny moments on live TV are captured forever on YouTube, but I haven't found it yet. Having been told this story by a friend, I can only hope it's true. While the news anchor was reading the autocue, he said, "The time is 10 o'clock Greenwich. Meantime, here's the news." Greenwich meantime. Meantime, here's the news.
Oh. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. I need to apologise to Lizzie.
Yeah.
At the exact moment when I should have been listening.
Yeah, I could tell you weren't. You got distracted, didn't you?
My eye was drawn by something on a screen.
Oh, okay.
But and by a screen, it's not like we're sitting here with banks of screens with all the info from around the world being fed in like we are at the Large Hadron Collider. Yeah. That is brilliant. But do you know what? Doesn't matter what my reaction is because you ploughed through, you muscled through, you did Lizzie's email justice, and the Drifters listening to it will have had the appropriate reaction.
Yes,
because their attention wasn't drawn by a photograph or some kind of illustration of the Higgs boson particle.
Is that what distracted you?
Yeah, it was this picture. I was trying to work out what's going on.
Oh, that is very distracting. Fair enough. Yeah, fair enough. Okay.
I mean, I think it's meaningless. It looks like a bit of set from Space 1999. I'm wondering about Higgsy now. I'm wondering if you like told everybody and discovered this thing that no one understood.
Yeah.
And this is an illustration of it that nobody understood.
Maybe we could do that. No, yes. I haven't got the background.
Credentials.
No one believes. Yeah. That's the problem. You need to have a good background.
But I'm really sorry, Lizzie.
Yeah, that's fine. It's fine. Right, let's move on to the next
one. The time is 11 o'clock Greenwich. Meantime,
here's the news.
Yeah, very good.
Okay. This is from Imperial Professor Paul. Long-time listener, first-time contributor.
Wow.
Oh, thank you, Paul. Thank you. I thought, by the way, this contains a profanity, but I shall be shortening it. And you'll know what I mean.
Okay.
I'm not a potty mouth person. I thought I'd finally get around to writing in with my personal Drifter nightmare story from a few years ago where it literally left me mute. My parents used to live in Dubai and I was a frequent visitor. On one particular visit, I was invited along to friends of theirs' dinner party. Their friends were quite wealthy, so the guest list was large. I'm guessing around 30, all seated around a very long dining table.
Wow.
I hardly knew anyone, but I was happy with the two guests seated either side of me and enjoyed making their acquaintance and the ensuing conversations. However, after the main course, the dreaded instruction of the men swapping seats with the man at the opposite side of the table was proposed.
What?
It must be a thing. You swap seats with the man opposite you.
So you've got 14 people at one side of the table, 14 up the other, and somebody at each end.
Yeah.
And then everybody swaps with the person opposite them, including the people at either end.
But only the men.
Oh.
Yes.
Seems a bit sexy. Sorry, sexist.
Yeah, I was going to say. It was proposed to mix things up in a fun way. Why? No. Oh, why do people pull this hideous trick?
Surely... Let things set. Yes. Don't mix them up.
Unless you're with someone who's a terrible bore and everyone's having fun opposite. That's the only time when it's a good idea.
If I see people having fun...
Mm.
I never think I wish I was with them having fun.
Right.
I just think I would ruin the fun.
You'd be the buzzkill.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's depressing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He goes on, surely no on earth enjoys this particularly awful idea. So I reluctantly did as instructed and walked around to the other side of the table where the guy I was supposed to be sopping with was still seated, chatting away with the woman next to him. He was the classic red-faced, middle-aged, overweight expat, straight out of central casting. I waited awkwardly before jovially interjecting with, I think we have to swap seats, whilst all the other men had sat down. He turned around, looked at me with disdain before dismissively shouting, F off!
What?
Devastating. I wish I'd been able to come back with a snappy response, but no words came. I can't even remember returning to my seat, which I assume is what I must have done. My memory is blank after that. It still haunts me to this day. That man. The confidence
terrible
in that man.
Man.
The confidence and the rudeness. Yeah, what a combination. Yeah. Okay, finally from Sarah. I have always known that Disneyland is not the place for a drifter like me. Everything from...
What a great start to an email.
Isn't it? Yeah. Everything from the crowds, the queues, the rides themselves, and the astronomical cost of the entire venture is the very opposite of what I would call a good time. But my very undriftery husband and our undriftery children spent years convincing me to go. And so today I went. As expected, I was overwhelmed before we even got through the gates. But the worst moment, I'm ashamed to say, came from an interaction with Mary Poppins. My daughter is a massive Mary Poppins fan and was the only character she was hoping to meet. It was quite adorable when she finally saw her, until I tried to also interact with her. In an attempt to simultaneously convey, you're doing a great job representing this character, and I recognise you're a person and being mobbed by kids on a daily basis can't be easy, I said, thank you for your job. Somewhere between my brain and my mouth, the best I could muster was a phrase that made it sound like I was about to take over her post as a Disney character. I swear she looked at me like I perhaps needed a spoonful of sugar myself. If only they'd open an exhibit at Disneyland where everyone just sits quietly without making eye contact. P.S. Got a great magnet as a souvenir. Shall we start a chat about it?
Yes, mag chat, please. Oh, that is that's wonderful.
Yeah.
I keep trying to get Gene to watch Mary Poppins, and he refuses point blank.
Oh, really? The original film or the
either?
Remake?
He's just got a bee in his bonnet about it. I've told you he gets a bee in his bonnet about different things.
Yeah.
Like Harry Potter is one of them.
Oh, interesting. Why? I mean, I like this.
I can tell you why. I'm lowering my voice just in case he's eavesdropping, so right. I call him Bat Ears. But when he was in reception at school, at the Summer Fete, there was a talent show. And it's really the older kids who are taking place in this talent show. But Gene decided that he wanted to be in it.
Okay.
And do a little musical performance.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at the age of almost eight, he's having bass guitar lessons. At the age of five or whatever he was then, he was interested in music, but he refused, as a kid should at that age, just have fun. Don't want to be like, having to do scales. But he would just like breathe in and out of a mouth organ of a harmonica.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So he decided he was going to go on stage and do this, right?
Mm-mm.
Fine. Let him do it. Either there's going to be some kind of humiliation that he'll be haunted by for the rest of his life, or he'll be relatively unscathed.
Mm.
And it seemed to go the latter.
Okay.
Except another boy from his class then got up wearing a magician's cloak and top hat and did a magic trick. And he had prepared something.
Right.
He rehearsed.
Okay.
And he had a little, ladies and gentlemen, a little bit of patter.
Right, right.
So then when the judging happened, this kid who had prepared something won a little prize in their category, and Gene didn't. And since then, he has hated Harry Potter, and I think it's because of magic. I think he hates magic. He gets really angry about magic and says it's just a trick, which it is, you know. But basically, I agree.
Yeah,
like that's what magic is. It's making you think something that it's basically distracting you so that you don't realize something that can be very easily explained. can be very easily explained.
Mm-mm.
Very entertaining, but that's what it is. But he's got a real bee in his bonnet about him and has refused to watch Harry Potter.
Oh, wow.
However, recently, he's developed an interest in hobbits. So he's getting me to read to him at the moment for his bedtime story, The Hobbit.
Okay.
And I'm saying, if you like this, you'll just like Harry Potter because it's a bit more fun and, you know, fewer examples of paragraph after paragraph describing a rock face on the side of a mountain in slightly archaic prose.
Yes,
but
yes.
He's having none of it.
He would love it.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Oh, wow. He really bears a grudge,
doesn't he? Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Which, you know, I am very proud of him for.
Yeah, great. Yeah. Good.
Anyway, shall we remind you of the email address we'd like to... You don't want to upset Annabelle, do you?
No, please. No. Let's go up to B- next week, all right?
So send in your stories of social interaction gone awry. It is hello@adriftpodcast.com. You look deep in thought there.
Yes, yes.
You're thinking about your Substack?
It's the first time ever, I think, that I've remembered that you asked me about it at this point.
Ah, so you're ready to tell me what's happening on your Substack this week?
I am. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I was born ready to hear about Substacks.
Were you?
Yes.
So...
Substack was my first word.
So I said something to you, I don't know, a few years ago.
I don't remember.
No, of course, you won't remember. You have no memory of this. I said to you, you know that awful like feeling you get when you're falling asleep? Like, it's so scary, isn't it? That bit in between being awake and falling asleep, I can't bear it. I hate it. And you looked at me so blankly. I thought I was saying this universal thing that everyone agreed with.
Between the flick of the light and the start of the dream.
Is that what they call it?
It's an Arcade Fire lyric.
Is it? Yeah, between the flick of the
light and the... I half remember you saying this.
Oh, do you?
I don't have any fear associated with letting go and falling asleep.
Oh.
I often wake up screaming. Last night, I woke myself up. I must have screamed in my sleep so loud it woke me up.
Well, interestingly, I don't have any of that. I don't have night terrors, nightmares, any of that. Sleep apnea, none of it. And yet I can't bear that feeling of sort of slipping away. Oh, I hate it.
I like it.
So, oh, no. So I've written about being scared of falling asleep.
Mm.
And also my techniques for getting around this, which includes some of my... Well, it's going to include one of my daydreams. Now, you remember you asked me about one recently and I refused to tell you.
Yes.
I was too embarrassed. It's not that one. But it's very close.
Have you spoken to anybody else about this?
About what?
The fear.
Two other people.
And what's your research say?
Yeah, they know they don't have it.
Okay.
But I'm sure there'll be like one other person who'll go, me too, and I'm writing it for them.
It'd be interesting to hear from drifters if anybody else has that.
Well, yeah, through my Substack, like leave a comment, like it,
don't
subscribe.
Don't email, this is yeah, church and state.
Keep things separate, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so Google Annabelle Port and her Substack will come up.
Mm-hmm.
But do you have another way in which you are not a fully functioning adult?
Yes. Did you have any Panini sticker books when you were a kid?
Yes.
Do you remember what they were?
I think I had a World Cup 86, which is weird.
What? But no.
Yeah, I don't know why. Yeah, I remember having Jesper Olsen.
Okay.
In it.
Is that Norwegian or someone?
I think it was Danish.
Danish, okay.
But I don't know which team. Denmark, presumably, if it was a World Cup sticker book.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry. I wonder if it was my brother's or something.
Right,
I don't know.
Right.
I just remember having a sticker of Jesper Olsen.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
And any others?
Maybe Gordon Strachan.
Okay, maybe.
I'm struggling after that.
Right.
Yeah.
And any other sticker books or just the football ones?
They feel familiar, but I don't remember. I must have had other sticker books, but
right.
I only remember the Panini is very associated with football in my mind.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So there's two that I remember like very,
why
very
strongly.
Why is
it strongly. Called Panini?
What is this? It's the name of the brand.
Like a sandwich?
It's about the same, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So my ones...
Do you know what I think really...
Go on.
Makes a panini a great sandwich?
Okay, this is a tangent. Go on.
Yeah, but we won't stay on it very long.
Okay.
I firmly believe that the amount of pressure applied onto a sandwich improves the sandwich. You don't want it too squashed, But say, for example, you make yourself a cheese and pickle sandwich, which I know you wouldn't because you're off the cheese these days, but think back to when you would.
Yeah.
You finish making it.
Yeah.
You don't just pick it up as is. You want to squash it down a bit with your hand. And there's something about the way that, that compacts the flavour that makes it better.
It's like about pressing your hand all over it.
And I think, because a panini, focaccia, I mean, what's the difference here? Like some kind of focaccia.
The bread,
so,
I think.
So, but the point is this. Yeah. It's not just the bread. It's how much squished it is. That's why a Breville sandwich toaster is so great.
Yeah.
It's the, yeah, anyway.
That's the thing I've ever thought about. I agree more with toasted ones than I do untoasted. But yeah, this is a conversation for another time, maybe.
Maybe. Yeah, with someone else.
No, maybe we could do a pressing sandwich chat.
Well, I'm interested. Is it because you're looking at me like I've just said an insane thing?
No,
that
I'm not
getting my filthy hands all over a sandwich.
No, I'm not. I'm not. I do understand.
Anybody disagree? Anybody want to elaborate?
Mm.
What are we calling this?
I just said press sandwich chat.
Pressed sandwich chat. It's not the greatest title.
No, it's not. I agree.
But I'm not going to allow myself to be distracted by trying to think of a better title. I'm going to, while you, I don't want a repeat of the Greenwich Mean Time.
We all know I'm going to get to the middle and you're also going to go, oh, it's all you've been thinking about. Focus on me. No.
Okay.
Back to me.
Yeah.
I had a Mary Kay sticker book. You're thinking,
under pressure?
Stop it.
Okay.
Stop it. You're thinking, who's Mary Kay?
Mm-hmm.
You don't know.
No.
Just checking. So it was a drawing of a girl and her friends, and it was a creation of an Australian artist, and it was very popular in the 80s. And it feels weird now that I was collecting stickers of drawings.
Yes.
Because, like, and they were quite distinctive, like, pictures, though, because they were a weird cross between clothes that were 1970s and Edwardian. So some would be in bonnets and aprons and flouncy dresses, and some would be in dungarees or flares. So weird. The other sticker book I had was from the film Annie. And I do remember it being quite addictive and feeling that they made some stickers really rare, so you had to buy thousands of packets to complete the book.
That's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what they do. So when my son showed an interest in collecting football cards, he likes the Match Attacks ones, I was a bit worried about having to remortgage and release some equity in order to pay for them. That's a joke, obviously. There's no way my mortgage provider would let me remortgage.
She'd got to show income.
But I thought with cards, like, there's no book to fill up. There's no obvious glaring gaps where stickers need to be stuck. So I started buying him a few packs, and then something really weird happened. Now, I have very little interest in football outside of the big international tournaments and the time it was said that Wayne Rooney went with a professional called Yodi Slapper at Diva's Massage Parlour in Liverpool. Outside of that, nothing. And yet here I am, a 49-year-old non-football fan, nearly as obsessed as my son with these football cards. And they've got the standard football players on them, but they've also got special versions of these cards. So there's lots of different sort of special edition ones.
Like shiny Pokemon.
Oh, my God. Let me tell you what I love. I bought him these Match Attacks folders with clear plastic pages and pockets on each side to put your cards in. So they're way better than stickers, because stickers you put in the book and that's it. With the cards, you can continually rearrange them.
Mm.
I love it. I love it when my son says, I think I'll try something different, a different way of ordering them. And we get them all out and I have to put them into piles for the teams and the special card piles. I don't know why, but I love it. Because I've got no interest or desire to organise the clutter of my own home. So it's very bizarre that I like it doing with these cards. This morning, my son asked if I could help him make little stands for his 10 favourite cards so they could be on display. Yes, I can, I said at 7 a.m. And I made these little stands. And then I found myself saying, perhaps I could put a shelf up in your bedroom to put them up on. Now, I recently gave a load of books away as I couldn't be bothered to put a shelf up to store them. And reading is my number one hobby. What has happened to me? His friend brought round his Match Attack folder and I was salivating over some of his cards. I was like, oh my God, you've got an Erling Haaland 100 club. You've got so many Crystal Edges. What is that? A signature card? Oh, I'd love one of those. The lowest point came when my son found a video on YouTube, which was an hour of a fully grown man opening 100 packets of Match Attack cards. And he put it on and I said, oh, come on now. You're not watching this. This is terrible. 2 minutes later, gripped. I watched the whole thing. Who am I? I'll tell you who I am. I'm someone looking to take on an extra job so I can remortgage to pay for thousands more football cards.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I saw this on the Guardian website earlier. Mm-hmm. I saw it myself as well. You didn't even send it to me.
No, I didn't.
Write down your thoughts and shred them to relieve anger, researchers say. Writing negative reactions on paper and shredding it or scrunching it and throwing it in the bin eliminates angry feelings, study finds. This is a study in Japan. It's a study in Japan. Nobuyuki Kawai, lead researcher at the study at the Nagoya University, said, "We expected that our method would suppress anger to some extent. However, we were amazed that anger was eliminated almost entirely."
No.
I feel bad from an environmental point of view, writing something down on a piece of paper and then just throwing it away, even if it's in the recycling. Mm. So I want to know, does it work to type them out and then immediately delete the file?
I wonder if it's not the same kind of aggression. You have to do it quite aggressively. Do you think you could delete delete? I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I could angry delete.
Oh,
I'm
good.
Sure.
Good.
Really slam your
finger down on the keyboard.
I don't have a lot of that too. I know you do, and I know my wife does. Mm. But my anger doesn't come out via my body. It can sometimes come out via my mouth, and it's often internalized, and it's often a simmering rage that stays within me. But I don't have much of wanting to rip something up, slam a door, smash something, punch somebody. No. I don't really have any of that to me, whereas I know a lot of people want to get something out physically.
Yeah, it's
an urge.
Maybe
this wouldn't. I often think I would be just as well being a head in a jar like in Futurama. I really do. I really don't feel attached or take very much joy from my body, even at the significant moment, if I'm honest. But I also thought, you know, if I was writing down all my negative thoughts, I could probably do a ticker tape parade.
Yeah, me too.
The next time the Blues win and they're doing an open top bus, I could be the one doing the ticket. A ticker tape parade's still a thing.
I don't think so, no.
Is stuff being printed onto ticker tape?
Yeah, maybe.
Why?
I don't know.
What is ticker tape?
I don't know. They have it on the buildings in Canary Wharf, don't they? With like the Dow Jones index or something.
Yes, but it seems strange to think that would still be happening.
Yeah, you're right, yeah.
Which is maybe why you don't see the parades so much anymore. I don't know. Do you have a shredder?
No. I've got a pair of scissors, same thing.
What do you think the age is?
Mm.
Like everybody above a certain age has got a shredder.
My mum and dad have got a shredder. Yeah.
Nobody below that age has one.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the frightened...
Oh.
The frightened boomer.
Oh, dude, that's what it is, because it's all you. Yeah. Oh, it's so sad.
What else was I going to tell you about? Oh, did you see that Prince Charles has seen the first banknotes with his face on them?
No.
Yeah, do you want to see a picture?
I'm desperate. Desperate. Show me. Imagine the first time you get one in a shop. I haven't used cash for ages. It probably never happened.
So he isn't wearing a crown.
Not wearing a crown?
No.
How are you supposed to know it's him then? That's ridiculous. That'd be like Tommy Cooper not wearing that hat. Like, that's so weird.
There you go. There's the Prince Charles banknote. You can see it's him without a crown on, right?
That's nice.
Yeah, I think it's an old picture. There it is, a specimen £20 note. They've written specimen across it so you can't print it out.
Yeah.
It's from a picture taken of him in 2013.
Oh, we all do that. We all do that.
Yeah, I think that's the last time I had headshots done.
Yeah. I'll be using them for the next 20 years.
The Adrift artwork, of course, is 7 years old at this point.
So it's fine. It's fine. We're not going to update it, are we?
No, it'd be weird at this stage to organise a photo shoot, wouldn't it?
Yeah, no. Staying the same.
So here's what I was thinking about when I saw this Prince Charles banknote. I was thinking about the rise of electronic payments.
Yeah.
And about the fact that poor Prince Charles, not only, I say poor Prince Charles, we all think, oh, he waited his whole life to become king, which is the same thing as waiting, you know, your whole life for your mum to die. So I'm sure it's mixed feelings at best.
Yeah, yeah.
But you do get the impression that didn't want his mum to die necessarily, did really, really, really want to be king.
He wanted that promotion. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's why I say poor Prince Charles. But so not only did he have to wait until he himself was a pensioner to get the job he wanted.
Yeah, yeah.
It's coincided with a steep decline in people seeing your face on money.
Yes.
Because everybody's using cards and electronic payments.
And stamps, really, as well. Like,
so here's my suggestion.
Go on.
So for card payments, and you could also do it with email and whatever, but so for card payments... You know when you put your card on the thing and then it goes, approved?
Yeah.
I think it should have a smiley face of him pop up, like an emoji face.
Okay.
So you still, every financial transaction you make, you still get a little smiley king.
It's only fair, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then if it's declined, maybe you could get Camilla looking a bit stern.
I'm not sure about that. I want Charles looking stern.
Okay.
Yeah, well,
has he got range? He's got range.
Yeah,
he's got range.
He can do it.
And same with stamps. Like, could you have an e-stamp? So when it comes up sent, message sent, you also get a little smiley face of him.
Yes. Yes.
Do you know who would love that idea?
Prince Charles.
Yes.
Prince Charles King. I'm still calling him Prince.
I know.
Never had you down as a royalist.
I'm not.
Oh, right.
But, you know.
Do you think it's fair? No. You like fairness?
No, here's what I think. What I think isn't going to change anything,
right?
So you've got to hate the game, not the player, right?
Correct.
But then even the game, you think, how can I make gameplay better?
Yeah.
And that's how to make the gameplay better.
Well, I love it.
Not going to be like my friend Jenny's brother, who is such an anti-royalist that he refused. This is for years and years. He refused to use cash.
Oh my goodness.
Okay. So this is when card transactions weren't easy.
Yeah, yeah.
He'd have like postal orders.
Oh, what?
You know,
no.
Traveler's check.
No.
You know, all checks. And if he ever had to use a stamp as a mark of protest, he would put it on the envelope upside down.
Oh my God.
So I don't know if he was hoping that the word would spread throughout the post office and there'd be some kind of insurrection.
Yeah.
But yeah, These things, I'm not going to affect change, am I?
No.
So what I'm going to do is come up with a nice idea for Prince Charles.
Good.
Who I met once and he was very nice.
Oh.
With my mum. He was very nice to my mum.
Good.
So I think fondly of him for that.
Good.
So I don't know where I'm going with this. I keep saying more words, hoping that a word that's an end will come out.
Just stop abruptly.
Like this. Quandary Corner at the GLAP Clinic here in Problematic.
Okay. First one is from Mark Butler.
I just really wish Pete, who he used to work with, could do a really good impersonation of Blakey from On the Buses.
Oh.
If you ever heard the name Butler, he would do a really good I hate you, Butler, get off this bus. But
it was like you paused to hear it and then he wasn't there. Yeah. I was working from home in the summer. The children from various houses, including mine, were playing out the front. I listened out and heard a commotion. I opened the door to find my son drenched from head to toe and in some distress. After a swift drying operation, I tried to ascertain what had happened. My son said that the dad next door had dared his son to pour a huge bucket of water onto the children below to win £5. I assumed that the boy who did this was spinning a yarn to absolve himself from blame, but when I asked some questions, the dad emerged sheepishly to admit that this was exactly what had happened. My response to this was to call him all the names. I'm ashamed to admit this really does mean all the names.
Good.
What would be the correct way to state that no such pranks must ever happen again without being a doormat?
Oh, my God. I mean, this people are so weird.
Terror. I mean,
have you seen this thing on, I think it's TikTok, but maybe it's all the social media, like people throwing cheese slices at babies?
What?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. For content.
You can't throw things at babies.
I know, and there's some other thing as well. Let me just see if Gene will come up and see.
Let me go to the door. He's on his iPad, so I don't have to alert. He'll come up. Gene, will you just pop upstairs a second? Me and Annabelle want to talk to you on the podcast. I want to ask you about a thing on TikTok and Instagram Reels. Because we need a kid. Stop asking why and come here.
He doesn't want to do it.
Just pop up. Everybody's waiting to hear from you. Yeah, everybody, all the drifters. They want to hear what you've got to say. We need you to be a spokesperson for the young generation. Are you on your way?
He's coming.
Here he comes. I was talking about... Come up here.
Here he is.
Here we go. Come over here. Come in snug with your dad. Here he is. What have you been watching something? What have you been watching?
Angry Birds on Netflix.
Angry Birds, is it good?
Yeah.
What are the birds so angry about? What are they angry about?
They're just totally angry.
They've got issues, right? Have they? Who's the angriest person you know?
Don't even know his name.
What?
When you were talking to Annabelle.
I did a trick on Annabelle before, didn't I? When Annabelle came to the door, I started shouting in an angry voice, "What do you want? What do you want?" And you thought I was being serious, and you'd never seen me be like that before. You thought, "What's going on here?" Now, here's what I want to ask you about. We were just talking about, there's a thing on Instagram. What do people throw at babies?
Eggs!
There's a thing where they throw cheese at babies, isn't there? And then there's another thing where people are cracking eggs on kids' heads.
Yeah.
So it's babies and kids. But it's like kids your age even, isn't it?
Yeah.
And what does it make you think when the adults are doing this?
They're bananas.
They are bananas. But it's not good, is it, that adults are just filming kids and cracking eggs on their heads?
I'm shocked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's mean, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what do you think the kids should rise up against the adults?
Yeah, they should get a protest.
They should do a protest.
Oh, I'd love to see a baby protest.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah. Like the...
Every weekend in Victoria Park.
In Victoria Park, that'd be a good place for it. I'm thinking like Extinction Rebellion. But with kids protesting against the adults, throwing cheese slices at them and cracking eggs on their heads. You need to go, don't you? All right. Well, I bid you farewell.
Thank you.
Cheerio.
Thanks for being a voice of a generation.
Oh, he's...
going to the toilet.
No, don't.
Oh, sorry.
It's private.
Sorry.
I had a bad experience with that once on the radio.
Oh.
I mentioned this and somebody was very upset with me.
I remember.
So I'm trying to... You know, respect his boundaries.
Yes, sorry, I'm vibing. You know,
because it's a slippery slope.
Yeah.
First thing, you start mentioning things like that, and then the next thing, you're cracking eggs on the head.
Yeah.
Oh, or throwing cheese slices at them. But this is insane to me.
So how do we get to this? Oh, I know, like adults doing weird pranks. Totally inappropriate.
Yeah, so these kids are playing outside the house and the adult just throws a... This isn't to raise awareness for ALS or anything.
No.
This is just to win £5. Because if it's to raise awareness for ALS, of course, it's fine.
Well, I think you're supposed to ask first, so it's sort of not fine.
Isn't that what the ice bucket... No, you did it on yourself,
and yeah. Someone nominated you, and it wasn't like you're pouring on a stranger. Completely different thing.
Yeah, it's horrible.
It is really horrible.
Like, even Jeremy Beadle wouldn't do this sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's most Machiavellian.
I sort of think you did the right thing, but at the same time, I think, you don't want to fall out with your neighbours.
No.
It's kind of the worst thing to fall out with your neighbours.
Gene, can I tell you what what happened? Yeah. So some kids, he's back again. Were playing in a back garden and an adult threw a bucket of ice water down on them so that he could win £5 for a bet.
Ooh.
So what do you think of that adult?
They should go to prison for a month.
One month in prison.
A month.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, a little punitive, and I'm not sure that prison solves a lot of issues. Sometimes it creates more issues than it solves. But
yes.
So let me ask you the question that somebody is asking to Annabelle and me.
Yeah.
So they're saying they were disgusted by this, and they don't want this guy to ever do it again to their kid or kids. but they don't know how they should say it to him. So if that was you and you needed to say to an adult, no more pranks where kids are the victims of the pranks, how would you say that?
You keep pranking them, the kids will start pranking you.
Oh, and there's an escalation.
Oh.
Yeah, fighting fire with fire, an eye for an eye.
Mm-hmm. That's what some dads would do, though. They'd go around and pour a bucket of water over that other dad's kid.
Yes, but this, you know, this could trigger World War III if you followed it to its natural conclusion, couldn't it?
Yeah.
Yep. Do you think some kind of peace process, a treaty?
A treaty. Maybe. That's interesting.
Yeah.
As John Lennon always said, all you need is love, not all you need is pranks.
Yes, he did. He did say that. He never said all you need is pranks, did
he?
Yeah, well, there we go. There's the answer. All right, do you want to get back to your angry birds?
Sure.
I hope that they work out their anger issues.
They should write it down on a piece of paper and screw it up.
Yeah, they should. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Jean, have you left that toilet door open?
Yeah.
There's a very bad smell coming from it. Would you mind closing it?
It wasn't Jean, though. It's just
No, I don't want to say. Yeah, there's something going on with the drains in there.
No,
I knew it wasn't number two. It didn't have that vibe to it. All right, bye. There it goes. Good. Well, I think we solved that one then.
Yeah, definitely. Let's move on to the next one, which is from Sophie. Up until recently, I was the only person who worked in my department's office downtown. Everyone else worked from home. I had a huge empty floor to myself and loved it. We'd recently hired two new employees, both of whom are required to work in office at least a few days a week, as they are responsible for mailing things. The thing I don't understand is that in this giant empty space, one of the new people took the desk right behind mine. And she hums, and she slaps her hands on her legs like she's drumming out a tune, and she burps, and the team's notifications on her computer are set at a high volume, and she laughs loudly, but in a way that screams, ask me why I'm laughing,
but I don't care. The worst.
There is a precedent that people who do my job usually sit in a different area anyway, away from others, because we need more quiet and don't make any phone calls. So I asked when the new people started if I was going to move, and I said no, I like my spot. I had carved a happy little groove at that desk. But I can't stand listening to her. Is it too late to move? What do I do? Also, headphones all day hurt my ears. Oh, this is from Sophie, the Canadian with a sister in Macclesfield. Hi, Jane.
This is hard, isn't it? So
how do you get someone to move? Because it's an ideal situation. This other person is going to move away from you.
Yes, but it sounds like whatever role that person is in is static and tied to that particular location. But Sophie is the one whose job can move to a quieter place. Mm. But she opted not to because she thought, why should I?
Yes.
Why should I let an insurgent force me out of my nice work environment? Is that right? Have I got that right?
I think so. Yes. Mm. Oh, I mean, you can do the old passive aggressive stuff of start bringing in like really bad smelling food.
Mm.
If you want, I can somehow capture the smell of Jess' bathroom and like. But
it is disgusting.
So it's weird when the door's closed; you can't smell it. But when it's open, it's quite strong.
It's really It's one of these things where I have asked people, plumbers, not just friends, to come and take a sniff and see if they know what's wrong.
Mm.
But it's intermittent, and it's just my luck that whenever the plumber comes,
that's annoying.
They can't really smell anything.
Yeah.
And then the last time I contacted somebody, they said it might be the drains on the street. That didn't sound plausible to me because that smell isn't in any other room of the house.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
So I don't know what to do with it. I've tried pouring stuff down there. Mm. Occasionally, I see drain flies, which suggests something's not good. But I do worry that it's one of these things that is going to, if somebody really looked at what's wrong, they'd say, oh yeah, it'll cost you 10 grand because we've got to smash your bathroom up with a hammer.
Yeah, stop looking. Just leave it, it's fine. Yeah.
So that's been our approach these last, coming up for 10 years.
totally understandable.
Yeah.
So foul-smelling food. Loud mute. Oh, singing.
No. This is not
wrong approach.
This is not a fight fire with fire.
Tell me,
because these people, they want that kind of workplace where people are singing and laughing, don't they?
Oh, okay. Go on. So I thought you were going to have a better idea.
No, I said, sorry to poor Claude.
No, it's fine.
I no-butted you when I should have yes-anded you.
Yes.
Let me think. So what would I do to... Is it a whispering campaign? Start a whispering campaign? Some kind of honey trap?
Oh, I know what you could say. You could say, oh, let's listen to this podcast the other day. And on it... There was a man at the cinema and someone came right either side of him when he just wanted to be on his own. Can you imagine someone doing that? That happened last week.
But it did. But then they would say, oh, but why would you want to be on your own?
This person. They're very hard to deal with.
We can't get inside their brain because they're wired differently to us.
Mm.
And then they...
Oh, I've got it.
Yeah.
Ruin their desk so they can't sit it anymore.
Well, like smash it up like a plumber would. My bathroom with that.
No, like super glue all over it or something.
What about?
I thought that was a good idea.
What about call them up pretending to be a recruiter?
Right.
Offer them another job?
Right.
Confirm it in writing?
Right.
Tell them where they have to be? And then they'll like hand in the notice.
I've got this weird feeling that people do more sort of checks than that before they accept a new job.
Do you think so?
I don't know. It's a weird feeling. I mean, who knows with this person?
All right. Let me give you a hypothetical.
Okay.
Somebody calls you up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Emails you.
Yeah, yeah.
And it doesn't look like spam. So it's got a non-spam quality to it. Yeah. It's written to you. It's like, hi, Annabelle. I have been looking through your link. Do you have a LinkedIn page?
Yeah, I do.
LinkedIn page.
Yeah.
I can see that you're really highly skilled in social media. I really like what you've been doing with your startup, Get. I can see that you have an excellent track record in communication with your media background. We're looking for somebody to be our director of public engagement, and we think you'd fit the role perfectly. Would you be up for a video chat?
Okay.
So you say, sure, I'll be up for a video chat.
Yeah.
And then you'd have a video chat and you'd hire an actor. Right. A lot of them are out of work. Pay equity rates. I'm not saying lowball them.
Yeah.
And the actor goes through the full job interview. Like, where do you see yourself in 5 years' time?
Do you have to build a website for this company or just do you use a fake company? Are you real
company?
But
that sort of thing's very easy these
days,
isn't it?
Okay, keep going.
Yeah. I'm saying... So you might need to invest a week of your time into this, but think of how you're going to benefit, right?
Yeah.
So you hire this actor to do a job interview and then we'll let you know.
Right.
And then a couple of days later, so we'd be thrilled to offer you the job.
Yeah.
And then please find attached terms.
Yeah.
And then you've got a fake contract.
Oh, I'm pathetically excited about this job.
And it's like an amount of money that's very exciting.
Yeah.
And they fill in the contract. And then you email them, you make up an email address, somebody in the HR department, asking for references and stuff.
Right. Okay.
And then the actor, you hire them for another half day and they call them back and run through some stuff on a video call and say, all right, we'll see you on Monday then. Here's where you need to be.
Oh, no.
And then...
I turn up on Monday.
Yeah, and it's a disused building, all like broken windows.
Oh, I heartbroke a bit.
But, you've handed in your notice and you can't go back to your old job. You're humiliated.
Oh, I'm so upset. And I honestly can see myself falling for it as well.
Mm.
But my only issue is...
Yes.
How do you cover your tracks when they like try and work out
this is probably highly illegal. But I mean, I don't know because I'm not going to catfish somebody. I think this would be a despicable way to conduct yourself. But the point is, I think there are things like proxy servers.
Right.
Like,
are we suggesting she does this or not? Sorry,
yeah, some
I'm
kind of cyber
now.
Crime. Yeah. No. I would never suggest that you do it. Wink.
Okay.
So there's your answer.
That or the super glue on the desk.
Yes.
I think you're better off doing that from Wes.
And that was our podcast. Thank you for listening. Annabelle needs a big smile on her face. You need a big smile on that face of yours, don't you? It lights, your face lights up. Really does. You suit a smile. You have the loveliest smile.
Oh, thank you.
Not like me with my creepy smile.
No.
But Annabelle will be smiling from ear to ear if you send in your story of awkward social interactions, please. Also, your quandaries for Quandary Corner and your podications. Hello at adriftpodcast.com. Thanks to Man and the Echo for the backing music and to Emily Harrison for the incidental music. Carla Gowlett took our photos. Kim Rainey designed our artwork. I emailed Kim Rainey yesterday.
Oh, lovely. How is she?
Haven't heard back.
Oh, awkward.
Yeah, I know. Ooh. I find Kim to be a very reliable person. And like me, she's not, you know, she's not an instant replier. When she can answer the things in the email that I've asked her, I know then I will get a timely reply.
Okay, okay.
But I'm not expecting a placeholder. All it is I do worry. I think, oh, have I gone to spam? I don't think I would have gone to spam.
No, you've had previous correspondence.
Yeah, it should be fine.
It's fine.
Anyway, but Kim, in your own time. Okay. And I don't mean, I know that sounded passive aggressive.
A little bit, yeah.
But I didn't mean it passive. Okay. No, there wasn't a hint of passive aggression as an intention. Okay. There was no intent.
Okay.
All right, another episode of Adrift, this time next week. In the meantime, thank you for your job. Podication time. This is an exciting one.
Very.
Comes from Andrew Chandler, who says, "Hi, Jeff and Annabelle." Hi.
Hi.
I would like to request a podication for my now fiance and partner of 22 years, Yvette Tompkins. That's right. I did say yes.
Woo-woo.
So thank you for doing us the honour of proposing for her on this leap year. What an absolutely joyous surprise. As drifters, it was perfect. Like you said, it was not one of those chilling situations where you're out and everyone's watching. They make me very uneasy, those public proposals. Here's what I think. I'm not sure that everybody who makes one of those public proposals is 100% sure that the other person is going to say yes.
Right.
And they are thinking that the public nature of it is going to help them get it over the line.
Or I find it makes them more about them.
Oh, yeah.
And some people, that's what they want.
I was thinking of it as coercion.
Yeah, that's, I mean, yeah.
Yes. It was perfect for us and so meaningful. I'm so happy. I'm sorry that it's on an episode where I've been banging my microphone a lot.
Oh, have you? Oh.
I've done it about 4 or 5 times, I think, including just a few seconds ago. In the same way, our wedding will be a very small affair, as neither of us can bear all the attention. And instead, we will have some parties dotted around the country with all our favourite people. And of course, we will be playing your podcasts on our journeys there.
I thought they were going to say at the wedding then. Yeah, I mean, be our guest. But
I do like that. It's a bit like what I did for my 50th. I couldn't bear the idea of a party, but I saw lots of people I really liked individually.
Yeah.
It's a bit like that, isn't it? Yvette referred to a poem I gave her. The writer was anonymous. Some of the words hold great meaning to us. You requested it, and I think it would sound great if you read it. Do you think he means me or you?
He means you.
Hang on a second. All right. Pressure here. Let me put my glasses on. All right. If you ever fall in love with someone who wants to know your favourite colour and just how you like your coffee. Fall in love with someone who loves the way you laugh and would do absolutely anything to hear it. Fall in love with someone who puts their head on your chest just to hear your heartbeat. Fall in love with someone who kisses you in public and is proud to show you off to anyone they know. Fall in love with someone who makes you question why you were afraid to fall in love in the first place. Fall in love with someone who would never, ever want to hurt you. Fall in love with someone who falls in love with your flaws and thinks you're perfect just the way you are. Fall in love with someone who thinks that you're the only one they would love to wake up to each day. I can't help but wonder if I've married the wrong person.
I mean, I know I'm not married, so I'm fine, but yeah. You read that beautifully.
Well,
you should be a spoken-word poet.
Maybe if you could set up a thing. Maybe I could make $10,000 a month on Audible.
Yeah.
I keep getting an advert for that.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I think it's a scam.
Oh, okay.
I get a lot of Instagram videos telling me I can make $10,000 or $20,000 a month. Mm. Or in my first month, I made $400 and now I'm clearing six figures every month. I get a lot of that.
Yeah.
Sorry, this isn't romantic. This is romantic talk.
No.
What do you think of the falling in love with someone who kisses you in public bit, Annabelle?
Yeah, I'm not sure about the public bit. I mean, we've all done it. But let's not do it again. Now we're a bit older.
Thanks again, guys, and keep up the media. Tom is just perfect the way he is, and you wouldn't want to change anything about his flaws. I think your microphone might have stopped working.
You just got to love those flaws, haven't you?
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
When I say love, I mean tolerate. No one's perfect. No. I'm not.
No, you wouldn't want to change it, would you?
No.
Thanks again, guys, and keep up the mediocre work. Then we got two nice emoji. See what we got here. I'm going to make it a bit bigger. A wink, a smiley wink, though, and a blowing a kiss. Love them. Good choice.
I'm so happy that he said yes.
It's great, isn't it? So happy. It is great because it wouldn't have been a fun podcast to read out if it had gone the other way.
No.
Thanks again, guys, and keep up the mediocre work. Warmest wishes, Andrew Chandler. Congratulations, Yvette. You've been and gone and done it.
Yes.
So this is wonderful news. Happy leap year, everyone. Oh, it was a while ago. Still leap year, still though, isn't it? Yeah, celebrate all finished, year. Yeah. Just not leap day.
Yeah. Celebrate all year. Yeah. Just keep celebrating. Yeah.
Andrew, Yvette, congratulations. And if you would like a podcation, email us hello@adriftpodcast.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.